All right, Rav, we'll say good morning. Let us begin with a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Sammy and Malka Esterson, for dedicating all the Shulam and Joshua's this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen, Sora Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the family a Nechama. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, for dedicating the Shiurim this week in honor of the birth of a grandson, Rabbi Henoch Morris, the Rosh Kol of Columbus Community Kollel, and his wife Chaya, born to their children Isaac and Esther Morris of Baltimore. Mazel tov. Good. Well, so with that, let us begin. So we have a lot to do today. Today's daf is daf Dalid, and we are picking up on Gimel Amud Beis 3. B'Yabos, say there is so much to talk about today. We'll have to exercise restraint a little bit. So I'll say, so we are picking up Gimel Amud Beis 3b, and I guess we really left off by Ruchos Aruchos, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, so remember again, the Gemara was discussing the idea that there seemed to be a contradiction. On one hand, we said that Ruchos, wind, is never withheld. And then afterwards, we said wind is withheld. So what's going on over here? Ruchos haruchos lokasha, habaruach metsuya, habaruach sheina metsuya. A common everyday wind is never withheld. But ruach sheina metsuya, stronger winds, are sometimes withheld. So the Gemara says, what do you need a ruach sheina metsuya for? What do you need a stronger wind for? So ruach sheina metsuya, chazila beidari, because ultimately, again, interestingly, ruach sheina metsuya, stronger winds, are very helpful for borer, for separating the wheat from the chaff, right? You'd go ahead and throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind does a lot of the separation process for you. But again, efshar ben afusa. And the good news is, if there's not a ruach metsuya, you could accomplish the same thing through a sieve or a sifter. Tana, ha'abim varucho shnios lematar. So we'll say, we have another verse that says as follows, that clouds and wind are shnios lematar. That will say, shnios lematar means, Rashi says, kimat shemo ilos kimata atzmo. Wind and cloud cover after rain is as beneficial as the rain itself. Right? So if it's windy or it's cloudy after it rains, it amplifies the positive impact of the rain. So the Gemara says, hey Chidami, what's the case? So Amar Ulavitim Rabbi Huda, Debasra Mitra, Lamem. So talking about after rain, that if it's windy or it's cloudy after it rains, ultimately, again, that amplifies the positive impact of the rain. Remember the mal, you see? So you're telling me then that wind and clouds after rain is a good thing? Vaksib, but the Pasuk says, Yitin Hashem es matar artzcha avak va'afar. Here to both say the Pasuk over here that the Gemara is quoting from the Tochacha, from Dvarim. Yitin Hashem es matar artzcha avak va'afar. Kadosh Baruch Hu will make your rain avak va'afar, which Rabbi refers to as follows. V'amra ula v'itim Rav Yehuda zeka debasar mitra. So Rabbi says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, part of Tochacha is that after it rains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause it to be windy. What happens when it's windy after it rains? It kicks up the dirt and causes the wet dirt to stick to the plants, which is not good for the plants. So how can you say that wind after rain is good? Lokasha hada asanecha hada asirazia. Everything depends on how it rains, right? If halacha lemaisa, it rains softly, so soft rain doesn't kick up the dirt. So because of that, again, if it's windy afterwards, the wind is able to disperse the rain in the appropriate way. If it rains strongly, that kicks up the dirt, and then afterwards the wind comes along and causes the dirt to stick to the vegetation, which is not good. Because when it rains strongly, when there's a strong rain, it kicks up the dirt. When it's a soft, and therefore if the wind comes afterwards, the wind causes the dirt to stick to vegetation, but if it rains softly, it does not kick up the dirt. Rabbi Yehuda says, Zeka de Basar Mitra, Kimitra. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it's windy after it rains, wind after rainfall is as beneficial as rainfall itself. Eva de Basar Mitra, Kimitra. When it's cloudy after rainfall, that's also beneficial. Shimsha de Basar Mitra, when it's sunny after rainfall, Kitre Mitri. That's as impactful as two rainfalls. So we'll say, let me ute my, but I just want to point out, isn't it incredible all the things that happen in the world that we're totally oblivious to, but yet impact us? Right? Whoever pays attention to what happens after it rains? Is it windy? Is it cloudy? Is it this? Is it that? Who pays attention? The Ribon Shom pays attention. And he pays attention to every single detail. And this is Ani Secha Shebechol Yomim, one of the miracles that happen around us all of the time. And the amount of divine choreography that occurs to make sure that our lives are good, to make sure that we have what we need, is absolutely and overwhelmingly mind-blowing. All of these details. So the Gemara says, so we'll say all of this stuff is good after a rainfall, right? So if it's cloudy, if it's windy, if it's sunny, so fantastic. So this is great. So what's not good, right? Tell me something that's not good. That's human nature, right? Tell me bad news, right? Tell me something that's not good. So this is very interesting. To exclude, we'll say gilhi delayla means flashes of light at night. Flashes of light at night apparently is not a good thing. And shimsha debeni karchi. Shimsha debeni karchi, I will say, means light that comes out from between the clouds. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Gili delayla. So that's not very helpful. Vyoma shimsha debeni karchi. Shabena avim shnira bemakum echad ora. Ubemakum echad mu'unan. Kikereach shiyeshu sa. So what happens? So interestingly enough, what's detrimental? What's detrimental is when you have pockets of sunlight. You know, sometimes in the cloud cover, you have a little bit of sunlight here, a little bit of sunlight there. That's not helpful. So when the sun shines after the rainfall, helpful, right? Cloudy after the rainfall, that's helpful. Pockets of sunlight, a little bit of sunlight here, a little bit of sunlight there, that's not helpful. I will say, we'll speak about this theme because it's going to come up many times throughout the daf. The imagery of a little bit of sun here and a little bit of sun there highlights what? A lack of consistency. You see, if a person has a little bit of sun over here, a little bit of sun over there, a little bit of shining here, a little bit of shining there, a good moment here, a good moment there, are those moments meaningful? Absolutely. But where there's a lack of consistency, you see, if it's sunny or if it's cloudy, that's beneficial to the rain, right? When there's a consistent state. When it's kind of nishtahin nishtaher, right? It's a little bit sunny, it's a little bit cloudy. I'm on, I'm off, I'm here, I'm not here. So again, it's really unhelpful, the Gemara says. It's generally unhelpful. Rain, which represents the greatest form of bracha, which represents ruchnius. Ruchnius is only impactful if you try to maintain some level of consistency. Again, the consistency could be cloudy, the consistency could be rain, it could be sunny. It doesn't have to be perfect. But as long as it's consistent, but when it's a little sunny here and a little cloudy there and a ray here and a ray there, it's just hard to get real traction in life. Your rain, your ruchnius, doesn't have the same impact when it's spotty. It only has a true impact when it's consistent. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Mali Tilga Leturi Kichamishi Matri La'ara. Snowfall on top of a mountain is as beneficial as 5 rains on the earth. Okay? Beautiful. Shnei Amar. As I was about to say, the Pasuk says, quoting over here, the Pasuk from Iov, Kila Shel, you know, I remember when I was a young man, I used to be able to see the Pesukim quoted on the margin of the Gemara. Well, now, Mamish. All right, must be, yeah. Kila Shelag Yomer Havei Eretz V'geshe Matar V'geshe Matro Suzo. So we'll say, the point over here is, there are 5 mentions of rain. It might be time. There are 5 mentions of, glasses resistant, right? But there are 5 mentions of rain, ultimately, again, in the Pasuk, in the reference to mountains. So from here, you see that halacha lemaisa, rain on the mountain or snow on the mountaintop is as beneficial as 5 rains on the earth. So the Gemara goes weiter. Bamarava, tilgulaturi, matra, so snow on the mountaintop, matra razi leilani, heavy rains for the trees, matra necha lepiri, soft rains for the fruit. I will say again, isn't this incredible that the Ribon Shel Olam has to think, he has to choreograph everything that, right? The mountains need snow. The trees need heavy rain. The fruit needs soft rain. And we haven't even gotten to people yet, right? Everybody needs, everything needs its own thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. Top of Dalet, or Pila, Afilu Lipartzida, the Tusi Kala Mahanya. and or pila. We'll decide what our pila means. Or pila, fine. I'll tell you now. Rashi says over here, gishamim dakim. Or pila means even softer rain. Soft rain. Soft rain works afilu lepartida de tusekala. Even for a seed that is underneath a clod of earth. Look at Rashi. Afilu lepartida de tusekala hagarin shetachas gusha shel karka. So we'll say Urpila, which is this, we'll see, is the softest kind of rain that works to penetrate, to even get to a seed that is buried underneath a clod of earth. My Urpila, the Gemara says, what does the word Urpila mean? Uru Pili. So we'll say Uru means ultimately, again, awaken. Pili means cracks. What it means is that if you have a seed that's buried underneath a clod of earth, the soft rain is able to go ahead and penetrate the earth and get into the cracks of the seed and cause it to sprout. They both say, isn't this absolutely incredible? So there's heavy rains to go ahead and take care of the trees. There's softer rains to take care of vegetation. And what gets to the seed that's buried underneath the clod of earth? What gets to it? The softest of rains, or pila. They both say, what an incredible Musar Haskil. Because sometimes, if you want to get through to someone, and you feel that that person is very obstructed, especially in the world of Ruchnius, person is very obstructed, and maybe their seed, their little seed of Ruchnius, is buried underneath a clod of earth. It does not work to hit people over the head. What works is soft rain. Soft rain. Sometimes the softest words penetrate deepest. We know this again in chinuch of our children. We know it in marriage, and we know it in life. Harsh words usually never affect change, or they affect change. They often affect an opposite kind of change. But if you want to impact that seed that is buried beneath the clod of earth, whether you want to impact someone in a ruchni level, you want to impact someone in a spiritual level, soft or pila. Words of Orpila. Orpila words, soft words, penetrates the deepest. It's incredible. V'amarava. We're going to change this to Amud Yomi, by the way, because I think we would cover a lot more ground in Mirat Hashem, spend a lot more time, maybe 14 years, and no one's going anywhere anyway. Simon says, V'amarava. Rava says, he's just incredible. Tainis, by the way, is like the most incredible Masechta. V'amarava. Haitzir Mirai Banan. Dami Lepartida de Tusekala. Atamud Chacham. Is like a seed buried underneath the clod of earth. Why? Dechevan denavat navat. Once he begins to sprout, he begins to sprout. In other words, I will say, here's what's interesting, apparently, about that seed. Even though it takes soft waters to penetrate, to get to the seed, once the seed begins to sprout, no stopping it. It grows. So a tamid chacham is like this seed. How so? Rashi says, "Kevan rabbi navat shemaschi lebatz meitzi v'la'alos olu lamala kach tamid chacham kevan shiyatsa shmo holich v'god lamala." Seems the tamid chacham. Once his name begins to spread, there's no stopping his growth. Such a beautiful metaphor. Just like the seed, all it needs is that little bit of water to get to it. And once it begins to grow, no stopping it. So to the Talmud Chacham, once his name gets out, once he begins to grow, again, there's a dynamic that takes hold. V'amar Rava. So I'll say, here we go. Haitzur mirabanan durasach. If a Talmud Chacham gets angry, we'll say, look familiar? If it doesn't, it's because you weren't here at 5:45. I just want to point that out. Good. Right? Good. You know who you are. So we'll say, so listen to this. Talmud Chacham who goes ahead and gets angry. Mamish, we learned this by Reb Tzadik this morning. Right? Incredible. If a Talmud Chacham gets angry, what's causing that anger? It's the Torah that's causing anger. We'll say, now we understand what that means. What does that mean? You're blaming it on Torah? When a person learns Torah, they become more passionate about things. So when a Talmud Chacham gets angry, That anger is from the Torah inside of him. Now again, the anger may be, as we saw in Reb Tzadik, the anger may be a misuse of that passion. Remember, again, the Gemara is not necessarily justifying the anger per se, but Lamaisa, again, understand where that's coming from. That passion is a manifestation of the incredible wellspring of spirituality he possesses. Shenemar, haloko dvarika esh nu'um Hashem. Because again, the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, haloko, my words are like a fire. The words of Torah are mamish like fire. Vam Rav Ashi. And I'm about to say, this is actually incredible Gemara. Kol tamid chacham she'eno kasha ke'esh. She'eno kasha ke'barzel, sorry. Any tamid chacham that is not as strong as iron. Eino tamid chacham, zara tamid chacham. But say, Rashi says, barzel, kapdonim, V'kashim kibarzel. Rebbe said, this is incredible. A Talmid Chacham has to be tough as steel. So interesting. Tough as steel. Shneemar ukepate shifutzatz sela, like a hammer. Like a hammer that crushes rock. Amrli Rabbi Abba Ravashi Asun the Hasam Masnisala, Anuhi Hakam Masnila. You learn from there, we learn from here. The Chsev Eretz Asher Avaneha Barzel. Eretz Yisrael is a land whose stones are like iron. Al Tikri Avaneha, don't read it as stones, Ella Boneha. Rather read it as builders. Both say Talmud Chacham must be tough as iron. Kasha Kebarzel. They both say, so what is it? It's interesting. What does that mean? So I think it's a very simple pshat. We'll say if a person is going to be a Talmud Chacham, and assuming a person is not going to be the Talmud Chacham that is just a reclusive type of Talmud Chacham, just kind of living by himself, learning by himself. But remember again, when Chazal speak about a Talmud Chacham, they're also referring to someone who's involved in community, someone's taking a leadership position. So that, you know what the Gemara is saying? The key requisite for being a Talmud Chacham leader is thick skin. Thick skin. Because if you don't have thick skin, then ultimately, again, taking a position of communal leadership is virtually impossible. Why? I have to say why, right? Why? Why? Because Jews are difficult, and people are mean, and people say things, and people do things. Often they don't even realize what it is that they're saying and that they're doing. If the Talmud Chacham is not kasha kibarzel, if he's not as strong as iron, then ultimately, again, his responsibilities will break him. Zohi derech ha-chaim. So the Gemara goes right there. I'm Ravina. Ravina, Rabbi, so listen to the qualification. Ravina says, afilu hachi, mi bai le le'inish le'melef nafshe benichusa. Ravina says, but still, a person has to go ahead. It's interesting. Le'melef nafshe benichusa, a person has to conduct himself in a calm and mild manner. See, Rabbi, say, here's the interesting other side. Sometimes in the development of a thick skin, which is truthfully necessary for doing almost anything in life, you develop like a little bit of a coarseness, or you develop a little bit of a gruffness. So the job of the Talmud Chacham, and the truth is the job of every person, is to develop a thick skin, but at the same time to still be a kind and soft-spoken person. So be the thick skin, right? Be the thick skin. You can't be the kind of person who what people say or what people do is going to hurt you and bring you down. You have to figure out a way to be able to take it and move on. Take it, compartmentalize it, and just simply move on. But don't let that turn you into a coarse, gruff, or indifferent person. So I'll say, isn't this the impossible, almost, not impossible, difficult combination in life? Develop the thick skin, but still be a soft person, right? Develop the thick skin so that what happens around you doesn't derail you, but maintain the sensitivity that allows you to be a feeling, empathic, and compassionate person. It's so incredible. Shneemar vaser kas milibecha. As Shlomo HaMelech says, remove the anger from your heart. So don't, because we know that sometimes developing a thick skin also causes you to become jaded and cynical towards other individuals. But the problem is, that changes me as a person. Develop the thick skin, but still maintain the personalistic softness. Incredible. I'm Rabbi Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonasan. It's just incredible, Gemara. Just incredible. Shlosha shalu shalo kehogen. There are three people who asked that Kaddish Baruch, who made a request, but it was an inappropriate request from Hashem. The shnaim heshivu kehogen. Two of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, answered them appropriately, or meaning Kohogan answered them appropriately. Li'echad heshivu shel Kohogan. One he answered inappropriately. Right? So what does this mean? Ve'eluhein, Eliezer ben Avram, Eliezer, the servant of Avram Avinu, Shaul ben Kish, who's King Shaul, the first king over Am Yisrael, V'yiftach ha-giladi. And Yiftach was one of the shoftim. So what happens? We'll say, what are the stories? Here we go. Eliezer Eved Avram. So Eliezer, the servant of Avram, what did he do that was inappropriate? T'chsiv, V'hayah na'ara asher omari le'hatina kadech. So I will say. So remember again, Parshas Chayisara, Eliezer devises a test. And he says, I'm going to go over to a girl, I'm going to ask her for a drink. And whichever girl gives me a drink, she is the girl who you have chosen for Yitzchak. Yochal afilu chigeres, afilu suma. What happens if she was crippled? What happens if she was blind? So in other words, how do you devise a test like that? In other words, Eliezer made it all about the chesed. What happens if there were other challenges or other issues? How do you know that that's the girl for Yitzchak? Yet, so I'll point out something very interesting. Tosis says, but one second, even if there was something, if there was a problem, Eliezer would have seen. In other words, that when he asked the girl for a drink, ultimately, again, he could see, is she crippled? Is she blind? Are there other challenges associated? So we'll say, if you take a look at Tosis, Tosis says, you see that Tosis, Yachal afilu chigaris asuma, right across. So we'll say, if you take a look at the last couple of lines, V'yesh lomar dahachi pirusho, Yachal afilu chigaris v'afilu suma, Yachal afilu chigaris sheyiye la afilu regel shal eitz, v'hu lo yehe roe, osuma. So we'll say, in other words, Eliezer was hinging this all on this one interaction. On this one interaction, I'm going to ask her for a drink, and if she gives me something to drink, she gives me something to drink, then ultimately, again, she's the girl. Well maybe she's on hers. He's saying, maybe she was crippled, right? Maybe she was crippled. And you wouldn't be able to see it. Maybe she had a wooden prosthetic, right? Regal shel eitz. Or maybe, or suma, kigon sheyeshla inayim yafim. Or maybe she had beautiful eyes, ve'ina roa klal, but she could not see anything out of them. Which was the only reason I wanted to say that Tosas is because that phrase to me was so profound. Yeshla inayim yofim ve'ina roas klal. Sometimes you could have the most beautiful eyes. You could even have the best vision, but you don't see anything in life. What an incredible, incredible phrase. Most beautiful eyes, but you can't see a thing. You know, Rabbi Nachman says, the reason we cover our eyes by Kriyashma is because sometimes, in order to see life for what it really is, you have to close your eyes. You have to stop looking. As we think we see things for what they are. We think we see the world for what it is. We think we see others for who they are. We think we see ourselves, but often we don't see the truth. I don't see the real me. I don't see the real you. I don't see the real HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because sometimes these eyes, they're just a little bit skewed for a variety of reasons. So sometimes you have the most beautiful eyes, but they don't really see. So sometimes in order to really see life for what it is, you have to close your eyes. Okay, in any event. So the point over here is that Eliezer, the Gemara said, Eliezer, this was not a good idea. Right? Eliezer, this was not the appropriate way to approach this. To make everything about, is she going to give me a drink or not, without looking at the whole person. So the Gemara says, Heshivu kol ginyeda kadosh baruch hu, answered Eliezer appropriately, v'nizdamna lo Rivka. And ultimately, again, Rivka imenu was the girl that came along. So even though, again, it's interesting, Chazal feel that Eliezer did not approach this correctly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nevertheless answered his tefilos. Okay? Shol ben Kish. What happened to Shol? D'chsiv. V'ayo ish asher yakenu. Yashrenu ha-melech osher. Osher gadol ve'ezbito yitein lo. Bosei. This is when Goliath, the Philistine, the Plishti, was threatening the Jewish people. Right? Shol is out of options. He says, whoever is the guy who's going to come ahead, go ahead and kill this Plishti, kill Goliath, I'm going to give him money. Fine. Rabosei. What else did he promise? His daughter, Yachal, Afilu Eved, Afilu Mamzer, right? Maybe the guy is going to be an Eved, be a Mamzer. In other words, when they say Mamzer, it's not talking about how father-in-laws feel about their sons-in-law, right? But it means, again, what it means, again, is maybe there's Mamish, a real issue, that halachically the guy is going to be unfit, right? So the Gemara says, Heshivu Kahogen, Vinez Damin Lo David. So once again, the Gemara says, what Shaul did, the way he framed it, it wasn't a good idea. It wasn't a good idea. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu nevertheless went ahead and gave him David. Yiftach HaGiladi. What happened to Yiftach? So we'll say, you know, again, Yiftach goes out to war, and what does he promise? He says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you allow me to come back, V'hayo hayotzi asher yotza midalsi beisi. Yiftach says, when I come back, whatever comes first out of my door, whatever comes out of my doorway first, I will offer up as a carbon to you. Yochal afilu davar tame. So ultimately, again, what happens if a non-kosher animal would have come out first? Heshivu shlokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not answer Yiftach in a good way. And who comes out first? Nizdamnilo bito. His daughter, right? Yiftach's daughter walks out of the house first. But see, there's a whole discussion exactly about what happened to Yiftach's daughter. But Lamaisa, she pretty much lived out the rest of her life in solitude. In solitude. I mean, she's friends with her, but she never married, right? The way Yiftach ultimately approached her was, she was kind of like Makudash as a karban. And so we'll say, so again, so I just want to point out over here, so therefore, three instances of people who quote unquote asked inappropriately, two were answered appropriately, one was not answered appropriately, right? So Eliezer, Shaul, inappropriate ask, appropriate answer, Yiftach, inappropriate, ask inappropriate answer. So we'll say, so it's interesting, wherein lies the distinction between these three cases? So what's interesting to note is as follows. Eliezer and Shaul, their asks were about the klal, right? Eliezer is trying to go ahead and find a wife for Yitzchak, future of the matriarchal line. Shaul is trying to go ahead and secure a win for klal Yisrael. So Yiftach, interestingly enough, was a totally personal thing, right? This was his offering that he was going to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what you begin to see is something absolutely amazing. When you do things for the klal, when you do things for the collective, when you do things for Am Yisrael, there's a certain shmir yisera, there's a certain extra added measure of divine providence. Versus the things that are kind of for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to exhibit chachma, to exhibit wisdom. If I exhibit wisdom, good. If I don't exhibit wisdom, sometimes I have to live with the reality of my mistakes. But the truth is, there's a deeper dynamic by Yiftach. Here we go. The Gemara says, this is what the Navi said to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyo. Hatsori ein begilad, imrofe ein sham. So I'll say, literally it means, tsari is a balm, a medicinal balm. Is there no medicinal balm in Gilad? Is there no doctor? Uksiv, asher lo tzivisi, velo dibarti, velo al sa'alibi. And furthermore, I'll say, we'll see what this, well, actually take a look before we go on. Take a look at Rashi. Vahinu de amr luhu Navi. Midalgi ba bukrava amr hatsari in begilad. Hatsari in begilad. Pinchas hayasham. But same thing is outside. You see, what should have happened in the story, of Yiftach was as follows. Yiftach made a nether. His nether was, whatever walks out of my house first, I'm going to offer up to God. What walks out of his house first, or who walks out of his house first? His daughter. What should have happened then? He should have gone to the Navi. The Navi was Pinchas. And it should have gone, it should have been Shoel al Nidro. They both say, this happens by Nidarim. People say things that they didn't realize were going to have intended consequences. There is the ability to be released from your Nedar if you go to a Talmud Chacham or you go to a Beis Din. So Yiftach had an answer to his problem. He had an answer to his problem. All he needed to go was to go to the Navi Pinchas, and Pinchas could have released him from his Nedar. But he did not go to Pinchas. Why did he not go to Pinchas? Because Yiftach reasoned, I'm the shofet, the Navi should come to me. So Rabbi saying, so because Yiftach refused to humble himself and go to the Navi, ultimately, again, he is not released from his vow. Now, again, whether or not his vow is even binding on his daughter is a separate discussion. But Lamaisa, he thought it was binding. There was a way to remedy this situation, but he refuses to go to Pinchas. And that's what the Gemara is quoting this pasuk. Is there no balm? Is there no medicine in Gilad? Is there no doctor? There's a doctor. There's a way to heal the situation. Go to Pinchas. So we'll say the truth is the Medrash says, Yiftach didn't want to go to Pinchas. Pinchas didn't want to go to Yiftach. So we'll say, isn't this incredible? You see, the Gemara is framing Yiftach as a way, as a situation of Sha'alo Shalok Hogan, he made an inappropriate ask. In other words, his nether was inappropriate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him inappropriately. So we'll say, isn't it incredible that even in this case, there was a solution. But the problem over here was not a lack of solution. The problem over here was a lack of humility. How many times are we unwilling to find proper solutions simply because we are unwilling to go ahead and humble ourselves? You know, we'll say, the Sfasema says this idea. He says that, we spoke about this before. He says, life is often a choice between being right and being happy. He said, the amazing part is, you would be surprised how often people choose being right over being happy. So Yiftach chose being right. I'm the shofet. I'm not going to Pinchas. He chose being right over saving his daughter. Incredible. It sounds crazy, but it's Maisim B'chol Yom, that people choose being right, or people choose arrogance over humility. They choose being right ultimately over being happy. So it's incredible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. There was a solution over here also. There's always a solution. Not always, but here, there was a solution. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to Yiftach, but Yiftach had the ability to seize it on his own had he chosen. Such a tragic story. So the Gemara quotes over here, Uksiv asher lo tzivisi, velo dibarti, velo al sa'alibi. What does this mean? I didn't command, I never spoke it out, and it never occurred to me. Asher lo tzivisi, I never commanded it. Ze beno shel meshach meshach melech moav. Shnei mar, vayikach es beno habachar shemiloch tachtov vayaleo ola. Shabbo say, Mesha, the king of Moab, decided to offer a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to serve God. How did he serve God? He offered up his heir. He offered up his firstborn son. He thought this was like godless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I never asked for a sacrifice like that. Velo dibarti, ze yiftach. Yiftach, I never wanted you to kivyachol offer up your daughter. I don't want that. I don't want those kind of karbanos. V'lo ol salibi, and it never occurred in my heart, ze Yitzchak ben Avram. Ultimately, at the end of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avram, I told you to sacrifice your son, but just want you to know, I never had intentions of having you follow through on that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, again, has always happened to bring karbanos, but never these kinds of karbanos. Amar Rabbi Rachya, Af Knesset, so Rabbi say, an incredible Yisrael. Also Rabbi say, this helps us frame in our own tefillos to recognize that sometimes the things we see, often we think that whatever we ask for is appropriate for us, sometimes it's not. Now, we often don't know, right? That's why I ask for something, I think it's good for me. That's why, like, you know, say in tefillah, a person always has to say, whatever you're davening for, we all daven for things, to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking for this, if it's right, because tefillah always has to be approached with a certain level of humility. I think I know the things that I need or that I should have or that I'm asking for, but sometimes the things that I think I need are not really the things that I need. You have examples over here of people who daven for things and do things that they thought were right, but the Gemara says, nah, that wasn't really the right approach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came through for them in at least two out of the three cases. But L'maisik is so important that as we approach tefillah, tefillah is approached with a humility. I'm asking you for this. I think it's good for me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately, I defer to your divine wisdom. On Rabbi Yachya, Af Knesset Yisrael Shalok Kiloka Hogan. Klal Yisrael also asked in an inappropriate way. Again, it was a Shalok Shalok Hogan just means also, they asked in a non-optimal fashion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiva Kogan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and answered them appropriately. How so? This is beautiful. Shneemar V'neida. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Hosea. V'neida nirdefa ladas es Hashem kashachar nachar motzo v'yavo ki geshel gvash. So listen to this. So Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'd like to know you like the earth knows the rain. Like the earth knows the rain. Such a beautiful way. So beautiful. Except here's the problem. Here's the problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Biti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us his daughter. Biti. At sho'eles davar shepamim mispakesh, shepamim eno mispakesh. Here's the problem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want me like the earth wants the rain. Does the earth always want the rain? No. Sometimes the rain is good for the earth. Sometimes the rain is not good for the earth. Aval ani eyeh l'chol davar mispakesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be for you like something that is always needed. Shene'emar eyeh kital li'Yisrael. You're asking me that I should be for you like the rain is for the earth. Problem is sometimes the earth needs rain, sometimes the earth doesn't need the rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll be for you like the dew. Right? Dew is always answered. We'll say, so which leads the question, so why does Klal Yisrael ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be like the rain? Right? We're smart, because we'll say, deep down, this is an incredible, incredible insight. See, deep down, this goes back to what we said before, what's our greatest challenge in life? Our greatest challenge in Ruchnius is commitment. That's really we have commitment issues in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love you, but I think we should see other people, right? I love you, but I'm not ready to settle down. I have commitment issues. So deep down, when I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want our relationship to be like the rain. There's a piece of me that says, God, you know, there are days I'm just kind of not going to be into it all that much. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you, but if you want the relationship, you got to be all in. All in doesn't mean being perfect. Right, all in doesn't mean I'm firing on all cylinders every single day, but you can't see other people. Right, you can't be like the rain. Sometimes I'm here, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't like it. You have to be like the dew. Right, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't require perfection, but it requires absolute and unequivocal commitment. Va'od shalosh shelo kahogen. Klal Yisrael asked another request that wasn't framed totally in the right way. So what happened? Amar lefanei Ribono Shel Olam, simani kichosim al libeich, kichosim al zroeich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make me like a chosim, like a seal on your heart and on your arms. Amar li HaKadosh Baruch Hu, biti, at sho'eles davar shepamim nira pamim eino nira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my daughter, you're asking for something that is sometimes seen, sometimes not seen. In other words, something you wear on your heart is often covered by clothing, or even on your arm is often covered by clothing. Ani, so the Gemara says, pamim eino nira, aval ani, es alach davar shenira li olam shenemar, hein akapayim chakosik. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will be for you. I will be for you like something that has always seen. I will inscribe you or seal you on my palms. Right? The palms are always exposed. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will wear my relationship with you in a public way. Once again, Klal Yisrael says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seal us on your heart, seal us on your arm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll do even better. Because the heart and the arm is often covered. People won't always know the unique relationship I have with you. I'll wear my relationship with you on my palms. Right? So that my love for you, my commitment to you, my connection with you will always be public and apparent. It's just amazing. Back to rain. Ain't shown us hagishamim. So what says, remember again, the Mishnah said, we only ask for rain, samuch l'gishamim, next to the time for rain. Savruha, sheila v'askara chadamilsi. So we'll say, the havamimim in the Mishnah is that sheila and askara, we spoke of this in the Mishnah, is that sheila asking for rain and mentioning for rain are the same things. Now, we'll say, we already showed that that's not the case. Mantana, amareva, Rabbi Yeshua, this is Rabbi Yeshua, Dara Mishas Hanachaso. So what's it, Rabbi Yeshua, who would say that you don't begin Mashivaruach Mori Dageshem until Shmini Atzeres, might also say that that's the time you begin to request rain as well. Amarli Abaye said, Afilu Tim Rabbi Eliezer, Sheila Luchud Vaskar Luchud. No, it could even reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer, because it was, remember again, how do we come out in the Mishnah? We come out that Sheila, request for rain, which is the same Talumata Livracha, and Haskara, mentioning of rain, which is what? Mashivaruach Mori Dageshem. Those are two different things. Vikadami, an alternate version of this. Lema. Phew, good. Lema. Rabbi Yeshua hi. Tamar Mishas Hanachaso. Others say it's Rabbi Yeshua. Again, the alternate version of this, it's Rabbi Yeshua who says that we don't begin Mashivaruach Mori Dageshem until day 8. So he would also hold that you begin Mashivaruach day 8 and you also begin to ask for rain day 8. I'm not Vafilu Tim Rabbi Eliezer. No, Sheila Luchod Vaskar Luchod. So we'll say all the Gemara is going through is the Havamim. The Havamim in the Mishnah is that the request Sheila and Haskara are the same thing. Kamash Malan, they're two different things, which already we've established much earlier on. Sheila, which is the petitional request, comes later. We'll discuss when Haskara, the remembrance, Mashiach Amar Agashem, could come even earlier. Vayter. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Over the Neateva. So we'll say, remember again, the end of the Mishnah ends with Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, when do you begin to recite Mashiv Haruach Umori Dageshem? When? So ultimately, again, he says, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita was, however, the Baal Musaf on Shmini Atzeres says Mashiv Haruach Umori Dageshem. That's who begins. But the Baal Shachris does not say it. And on Pesach, the Baal Shachris says it, the Baal Musaf does not say it. So says the Gemara or Minhu, Ad Masai Sholan Sagishamim, until when do we request rain? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiavar HaPesach. Rabbi Yehuda says, until Pesach is over. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad Shiavar Nisan. Rabbi Meir says, no, we ask for rain until when? Until Nisan is over. Now, boss, remember again, this is Sheila. Sheila refers to what? The same Talumat Livracha. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? So we'll say this contradicts the Mishnah, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda said, you stop by Musaf on first day of Pesach. So the Gemara says, Amrav Chista Lokashia, Kan Lisho Kan Lahaskir. No. Two different things. Our Mishnah is talking about Haskara, Mashivarach Amari Dageshem. This is referring over here to Sheila, to the same Talmud Livracha, to which the Gemara says, Kan Lisho Kan Mishal Shal. I'm sorry, Lokashia Kan Lisho Kan Lahaskir. Mishal Shal Vazil. So I will say, does that make, so therefore again, the Gemara says, it could very well be that we'll continue to ask even after we stop saying Mashiv Haruach Mori Dageshem. So the Gemara says, one second, Lahaskir Biyom Tavarishon Pasek. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Mishal Vishal Va'azil, Lahaskir Biyom Tavarishon Pasek, Amar Ula Hadrat Chista Kashya, Kechomet L'Shinayim U'Ka'ashan La'inayim. So I'll say this is actually very strong. So Ula says, this statement of Rav Chista is literally, again, like vinegar to the teeth and like smoke to the eyes, which means he disagrees. But I'll say, so again, because what Rav Chista is highlighting over here is something very interesting. Rav Chista is floating an idea that it's possible that you'll stop saying Mashiv Haruach Mori Dageshem, but what? You'll still continue to say what? The same Talumata Livracha, which makes no sense. Uma b'makom she'ino shoel maskir. So I will say, what we've established in our Mishnah is that you begin to mention right, rain before you begin to ask for rain. And we've justified that by saying you can make mention of rain before asking, because the truth is mention of rain technically you can do the entire year. So mentioning of rain precedes the actual petitional request. So doesn't it make sense that as long as you're asking for rain, that you would continue to mention Mashiv Racham Aridag Hashem? Rather, Ula says, at the end of the day, there are just two Tanoim according to Rabbi Yehuda. Look at Rashi, Trei Tanoi. Chad Amar Achi Yavor HaPesach, Sholin, Kol Shekin Shemaskirin. Vechad Amar She'ila Ad HaPesach, Vazkara Shiyach LaHaskev Yomtev, Maskev Yomtev, Harishon Shepesach, Shabosai. Ultimately, again, it's Machlokes Tanoim. It's Machlokes Tanoim. Do you stop? Do you stop Mashiv Aruch Amor Dageshem? And by extension, the same Talamata Livracha, by the first day of Pesach, anyway, first day of Pesach, you're not saying same Talamata Livracha, do you stop right at the first day of Pesach, or at the end of the day, do you go ahead and continue through Pesach? That's the Shaila, that's Machlokes. Rabbi Yosef says, "My Achi Yavra Pesach, what does it mean until Pesach is over? Achi Yavra Pesach, Achi Yavor, Shliach Tzibor Rishon, Hayored Biyom Tor Rishon Shal Pesach." Or obviously, Achi Yavra Pesach means, until ultimately, again, the first chazan of Pesach, which means the Baal Shachris, of the first day of Pesach finishes. Okay, so we just have a fundamental machlokes. So what we're doing right now is we're trying to link the two, right? So we're assuming that wherever Mashiv Aruch Umir Geshem ends, the same Talumat Livracha will end as well. Now remember, Rabbosai, you won't know this, but I'll mention it. There obviously is no v'sein talumat olivracha on Yom Tov itself anyway. Now there is v'sein talumat olivracha when? Technically Chalamayim. So this will be the nafka mina. Do we end Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem on the first day of Pesach? Or do we end it after Pesach? The nafka mina will be what? The nafka mina is how long do you say v'sein Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem? But also on Chalamayim Pesach, do you include the same tal umat or livracha in Shemona Esrei or not? This is the machlokes. So from the Abaye, says, one second. She'ila biyamtav mi'ika. One second, but there's no request for rain. There's no b'sein tal umat or livracha on yamtav anyway. So what are we talking about? Amrale in Shal Targuman. He says, yes, there is a she'ila. Where does she'ila come up? By the Targuman. I will say, this is fascinating. Look at Rashi. Amrale in she'ila the Targuman. Bidrasha shehudoresh omer birchas she'ila levada. Shabbos say this is fascinating. Sometimes apparently in the drasha of the Torgamon, he would go ahead and just make mention of rain. We need rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us rain. He would say this as part of his drasha, which is fascinating. V'chi mitorgamon shol davar shenatzarach letzibor. But does the Torgamon ever ask something that ultimately, again, the tzibor doesn't? In other words, by Pesach time, halacha lemaisa again. By Pesach time, ultimately, the request for rain has ended. Rather, I will say, Ula's approach makes more sense, that there's just a machlokas. There's just a fundamental machlokas as to when we are ending over here. Are we stopping everything at the onset of Pesach? Or ultimately, again, are we stopping everything at the conclusion of Pesach? Rabba Amar, my Achiyavor HaPesach. What does it mean until Pesach is over? It doesn't mean until Pesach is over. Rather, Achiyavor Zman Shchitas HaPesach. What it means is up until the Zman Shchita, which means that the last time we're going to go ahead and say, Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGeshem, and the same Talamat Livracha is when? Erev Pesach. Utchilaso kein sofo, and again it's bookends. Matchilaso maskir afapi she'ino shoel, and I will say ultimately again, just like at the beginning, we say Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem without the same talmud livracha. Because remember again, you're beginning Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem when? When are you beginning it? Shmini Atzeres. And what are you not saying on Shmini Atzeres? The same talmud livracha. So just like when I begin it with Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem without the same talmud livracha, kein sofo. So too at the end. So we'll say at the end, because when's the last Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem? When's the last one? First day Pesach by Shachris. But when do I end, when do I conclude the same Talmud Livracha? When's the last same Talmud Livracha? When? Mincha Erev Pesach. So this is the bookends. Just like I begin Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem ultimately again, without the same Talmud Livracha on Shmini Atzeres, So too, I'll conclude with the last Mashiv Aruch Amorid HaGashem on the first day Pesach, but I'll conclude with the same Talmud Livracha one day earlier. Amar le Abaye, so Abaye says, Bishlama tchilas amaskir haskar namaritsui sheilehi. Elasofo, my research. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with Amar Abaye and Mirtz Hashem. Actually, we'll just finish Amar Abaye. Bishlama tchilas amaskir haskar namaritsui sheilehi. So we'll say Abaye says, I understand to begin Mashiv Baruch Mori Dag Hashem without the same Talmud Baruch. I can understand that because the haskara is the beginning of the petitional request, even though it's not the actual petitional request. Ela sofo my ritu she'ela ika. Ultimately, what I will say, it doesn't make sense after you stop the same talumat livracha, the actual petitional request. It doesn't make sense to continue with mashiva ruach umorid agashem. Ela mechavarta kidula. Rather, it makes sense to go back, like we said before, like Ula said, namely, that it is a machlokes in the sheet of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi will say, now we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the halacha, the maisa of this, namely, when do we stop the recitation of the same Talmud Livracha, as well as Mashiv Racha Merid Hashem, to be continued tomorrow.